Hey, what's up? It's John Kizzy. You know who is he, a.k.a. Philly G, because they know who I be. And I'm here with King Tigger.
What's up?
And hey, we started a podcast. And today we have two guests, two up-and-coming actors. Should we say up-and-coming or...
Yeah.
Rising actors. Rising actors.
I almost said, should we say you're coming? And then I'm like, nah, that's... With that P. Diddy stuff, you got to say... No one wants to say that. Can't even gussy it up and say you have arrived. Even that is bad now.
Yeah.
You can't even say that.
Yeah.
Anyways, we got Nathan. We got Kyle. And I hope they put their names on the screen. So you can get their information, their Instagrams and all that. That was it made it.
That was
flat.
It got on there.
It got on there. Oh, wait. All right, we're going to get his name on the screen there. There you go. Look at that.
I got it.
There you go.
You got some editing to do on that.
No, yeah. We ain't got no editing. I'm keeping it raw, uncut. This is raw, uncut.
Yeah.
So they get to see this. All right, so we're here to talk about movies, short films. I guess that's the same thing, ain't it? Just shorter. And music, because I just found out.
Yeah.
He spits.
Yeah.
All right, so
he writes rhymes.
Oh, he says he writes. Yeah. Actually, I didn't even ask if he spit.
Yeah. Exactly.
Maybe.
I do.
Are you one of Drake's Ghostwriters?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
He was on vacation. That's why he lost the Kendrick.
I left all my bling at home.
Ah, see.
I'm talking with them motherfuckers.
No. That's the most you'll hear.
Fuck that shit.
Yeah.
I know. Yeah. And then it's probably going to continue because he didn't get his say. Yeah. But anyways, would you like to start today? Actually... We'll start with Nathan, just to introduce yourself to the podcast and tell us a little about yourself.
My name's Nathan Godfrey. I'm originally from a place called Liverpool. I'm an actor from Halifax. I've acted in several different films. One of them was 17 Bricks.
Yeah.
Another one was The Ark of Noah, which we're going to be talking about today. And obviously Unreasonable Rob, which I did with a fellow former battle rapper who passed away two years ago now, sadly, named Pat Stay.
Nice. Yeah, I seen that 17 Bricks.
Yeah, that was good.
That was funny.
Yeah.
I really like the boss.
The puppet, yeah.
How long did you have to put that together? 72?
It was 48 hours.
48-hour film festival.
48 hours, that's even crazy.
Yeah, the 48-hour film festival.
Start to finish.
Yeah. We talked about that when Mark and Leanne were on the show.
That's crazy.
It was, that was funny.
Yeah.
That was funny.
Yeah.
Drawing on the abs.
Oh, my God.
Man.
Everything about it.
You cannot leave that part alone, just so you know.
Listen to the abs. the abs were the main part.
I know.
The abs need to be on there. They need to look real.
I know.
So
I wish I could do it. I'd have to shave, though.
Yeah, no, Mark just write them on.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
There you go. I wanted to introduce yourself there, Kyle.
Yeah, so I'm Kyle Andrea. My main thing was rapping and producing. I've been doing that since 2005.
Nice.
So it's been a while.
Okay.
And I've done a lot of shows performing around the provinces and mainly Nova Scotia, New Brunswick, Maritimes, PEI and stuff. And it's just within the last couple of years, I've kind of started dabbling with the acting. I've always been into videos and video production and stuff like that. But just the last couple of years, I've really, really head first into it, almost to the point where I put my music aside.
Yeah.
And now I'm doing this full time, besides my full time job.
Yeah.
But I'm from Middle Sackville. I was born in Halifax, grew up in Middle Sackville. I've been there literally my whole life.
Okay.
Yeah. Bounced around. I did live in Dartmouth, I'm back in Sackville.
Everyone,
I'm yeah. back in Sackville.
Everyone lived in Dartmouth at one yeah, point in their life.
Yeah. I'm back in Sackville now. So.
I think that's like a trial that you have to go through in HRM.
Yeah.
You have to at least a year in Dartmouth, you know, like in Korea, that, how you have to be in the military for a while.
Yeah.
that's our thing, yeah.
Yeah.
And I was on Podcrest.
Princess Margaret, that's where I was. Yeah, shit.
Oh, I was. I did my time on Podcrest.
Did you?
Yeah. Good old days.
Yeah. That's a good one. That's a fun street.
Yeah.
I was on the balcony once, had a smoke, and I swear to God, I seen a live action Tom and Jerry.
Oh no.
This pizza delivery guy went up to the door to deliver a pizza.
Go.
Some crackhead went into his car, took a pizza, and ran. Around, and they just chased each other around the building four times until the delivery guy just gave up. I was like,
he said, "You know what?
Take it." I was just on the balcony. I was like, "What am I watching?" Pinecrest.
Yeah. Enough said.
Yeah. I know.
Welcome to
Darkness. Yeah. Good old Pinecrest. Yeah. It was just a cigarette. For a minute, I questioned, "Is this just a cigarette?
Yeah.
am I seeing this?" So, did you guys, what was your first acting?
My first acting I did way back, actually. I did film school way back in 2011. My first acting gig was a film called One for the Road, and literally just a film project we did. It's really, really dog crap quality and stuff. It's like 460p.
That's what you showed me, right?
Yeah, crappy one. But my actual real first acting gig, when I got really serious into it, was, again, Unreasonable Rob with Pat Stay and Mark Swatsky. So, yeah.
Cool.
And just definitely, Pat really just brought out the inner me, brought out the acting and made me believe in myself and all kind of stuff. So, yeah.
I enjoyed it. I didn't see season two yet. But
you didn't see the SwearNet version?
No.
Just the YouTube version?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Definitely check out the SwearNet.
Oh, definitely. Yeah, it's great.
Yeah, it was,
just the quality went a little bit.
Oh, wait.
Yeah, that's what that's
learned so much in between filming the first one and the second one. Like, but
How about yourself, Kyle?
When did I start acting?
Yeah,
officially. Well,
or when did you start to take it serious?
Rob was my first real acting job, my first paid gig.
Okay,
but like. Yeah, I don't count music videos and shit as acting, so...
True that.
That's just performing. Yeah. Performing your music in a fucking video, right? I don't know. Can we swear on here?
Yeah, of course.
Okay, I didn't know.
So I didn't know either.
Trying to bite my tongue and shit. Yeah.
Oh, no.
Dog crap instead of, you know...
Oh, you ain't got to bite your tongue.
Yeah.
Y'all
can
let it go.
Yeah.
Okay, perfect.
Yeah, I know you two have a thing where you can't curse in the first little bit, but we don't follow that.
And that happened by fluke. Because Pat messaged me, he knew. Okay, I've also been in the body removal business, so we deal with like my family has a business. We remove human remains.
Oh shit!
Medical examiners, so like homicides, suicides, accidents, you name it, we do everything. Okay. So Pat knew this, so he said, "What can you get me? Can you get me a casket, something for this funeral scene?" And I said, "Well." I can get you a cremation casket because we own Dartmouth Crematorium. Uh-huh. And so I was like, I can get you that, but you're going to have to dress it up. It's just a fucking, it's just a box. It's an ugly fucking pine, not even pine box. It's like press wood because it's just going to be burnt.
Right.
So it's not meant to look good. So he said, he asked me if I could send him some pictures. So I sent him some pictures. He said, that's perfect. He's like, not really, but we'll make it work. So sure enough, I go there, I bring him the box. I brought my suit just in case because I knew it was a funeral scene.
Yeah.
Next thing you know, they're asking, who else here is going to be in the film? Who's going to be in the film? Are you going to be in the film? So they come up to me. I said, I got a suit. They said, go put it on. I was like, fuck yeah. Next thing you know, I'm in the scene. Front row of the funeral and fucking that episode.
Nice.
And then that night, Pat called me, thanked me for coming out and bringing the props and helping them dress it up and being in the film and asked me if I want to come shoot the next day. And then he did it again the next day. So he had me on three sets back to back to back. And I got paid for every day that I was there. So I was like,
shit.
And then ever since then, I was like, okay, I like this. And then obviously I met Mark. And then I was in Buddy Wild. And
yeah.
Yeah. But Ark of Noah, I don't know if you want to.
Yeah. So Ark of Noah really happened. Was how it really happened was basically we had a friend a mutual friend, me and him, that we knew that was that reached out to me, and he was, had his project, and it was very, it very started off being very like Blue's Clues-ish, like
very cartoony,
and he was so dead adamant on that. And then basically, I invited Kyle to it, and we were working together and stuff, and then our mutual friend just disappeared.
Yeah, he flaked on us,
and then we brought our friend Steve in, and he helped as well with it.
Yeah, Steve Bootlier. Good friend of mine who I've known for a long time, since way back, yeah. Early school days.
And then we just basically made a group, and we all worked together, coming up with ideas of what the show's going to start, how the show's going to be.
But it completely changed. It went from this cartoony Blue's Clues, like, he almost wanted it to be like a, like you were just some kind of drug addict or something, living in his grungy apartment, and all of his friends are cartoons, and I was like, it's kind of cool, but it's... We don't have that kind of fucking budget.
No, I was thinking of budgets,
like,
too.
Then we got to pay a fucking animator and all this shit, and right. It's like,
yeah.
You could come up with characters. Like, there's a lot of fucking work that goes into making a cartoon, let alone a series/cartoon like that. But so it completely changed trajectory, completely. We just basically started from scratch and rewrote, and then we came up with Ark of Noah.
We actually originally supposed to do Noah's Ark, but we looked up and it was copyrighted.
So yeah.
You can't touch that.
No.
He even spelled with the Ark, too, like the K's in.
It's spelled with the C, with the C instead of the K, or. That's exactly how they spelled it. And we were like, oh, maybe we can get away with that. And then I Googled it, and I was like, fuck, no. It's already a show. Yeah.
So, I thought it was a short film. It's a series?
It's a, we started with a series. This is how it started. And then Megan St. Rose, I don't know if you know who she is. She does the morning shows on the country station there. She's actually just filling in for the one who's gone for the time being. She's on maternity leave. Yes, yeah. So, anyways, I don't know how you met her.
Actually, I met her actually through another mutual friend named Chris. I can't remember his last name now. But he brought me out to downtown, the Pint. And we went out there, and she was at, like, a party and stuff, and they sung and worked out. They were, like, hanging together and stuff, and literally I met her there, and literally I didn't speak to her for, like, 6-7 months after I met her, and then she reached out to me. We would kind of talk here and there in six months, but not very much, and then she reached out. She was like, hey, I see you're doing a lot of film work, and I see you're doing stuff really successful. I'm looking to do a project with some passionate people and stuff, and then I was like, okay, and then I added her to our little Facebook group we have on Messenger, and... She came in, and it was history from there.
Nice.
Well, so basically when she came in, we had a few meetings, and we filled her in, caught her up to speed to where we were at with the scripts and ideas and characters and all that stuff. Loved it. Loved the idea. Then next thing you know, it was like maybe a couple months go by, and then she says, okay, we got to make a fucking short film. Because the CBC short film face-off just popped up, and she was like, we need to fucking enter it. It's a chance to win 30K towards your next project, which would be towards the series.
Oh, okay.
So she put her feelers out for a production crew, found us a fucking wicked cinematographer, Jeff Babineau, and a wicked first AC, Jordan.
Jordan Burns.
Burns. Yeah. I don't know how I keep forgetting his last name. Jordan Burns, he's a fucking amazing guy. Me and him cooped ourselves up in the studio for fucking 2 days just... producing, editing the fucking short film. Just, we did not leave.
Nice.
And, you seen the short film. I let you get a sneak peek. So he's the radio guy, the other radio guy.
Okay.
That was just a surprise addition to the movie. So, like, it was just something that happened in the production room. So that's, I don't want to talk too much about that. But, yeah, so she basically whipped us all together. She said, you guys need to fucking put this short film together now. And she got us all together and fucking... Obviously, like, it just turned out amazing.
Yeah, I thought it was...
But there was probably 11, 12 of us in total in the crew. Like, we had me, you, Steve, Jeff, Jordan, Megan, Maria. We had a props girl from... She worked on the trades and Trailer Park Boys and stuff like that. Like, the new Trailer Park Boys movie she did, too, wasn't it?
There was just quite a few members that I actually recruited as well.
Yeah.
That, you know, we just started breaking out. It was like one weekend. It was like not even 48-hour period that we just had people keep coming in.
Just
helping, and things are coming together like last minute.
Oh, that's cool.
And then we had to start casting. Like, we had a big scene. It's a big scene with basically wasn't a huge scene in the movie, but to us it was a big scene because it involved a lot of people and a lot of organization to make it happen.
You mentioned Patricia. Is she a social worker?
Patricia. She was an extra in the movie?
Yeah.
Yeah, I went to school with her son.
You know what's
kids,
funny?
Both her kids, actually.
It's because I watched it on my TV. Right. And my girl came
down.
So
you recognized her?
Oh. No, I didn't. My girlfriend is a social worker. She jumped up and was like, is that Patricia?
Patricia Stevens.
Yeah.
I went to school with both of her sons.
Yeah, she jumped up and asked, is that Patricia? Like, I knew her. I was like,
you're like, is that her?
Sure. I don't know. But she's like, yeah, a social worker. I went to school. I know her.
I didn't
like,
know she was a social. I always wondered what she did. I never really asked her. So.
Now you don't
now
have
I
to.
Know. Hi, Patricia.
Yeah.
She's a big supporter, man. She loves everything we're doing. Like, she's always asking about it. I don't want to spoil anything about the movie. Like, so she was asking me about the whole thing, and I was like, I can only tell you so much. Like, come to the screening, Pat. You'll see it all.
Yeah. Nice. Well, speaking of that, let's play the trailer right quick.
Sure.
So, so people at home can see it. I was going to say so that you can see it, but I forgot you've seen the short film.
Yeah.
But
I've seen so much. I like to recall the YouTube. So.
He didn't even watch it.
No, I watched. I'm watching this series right now, so my mind's there.
Yeah.
Right? It's an old ass series too. So Friday Night Lights. Yeah. Watching that. So.
Yeah.
All right. All right, we'll let it play right now.
This is Noah. A simple guy, really.
Yeah.
Noah has two friends.
She's a fucking piece of shit.
She's the reason why you have to fucking wear glasses. Dude, stare at the fucking sun. It'll make you see better.
I've got something perfect for you. It's for a national brand. I was going to do it myself, but I'm a little too nervous.
Are you fucking kidding me, dude?
With dreams to become a successful actor...
This actual shit.
Not your line, kid.
Nice.
He always manages to f*** things up.
It looks funny even without audio.
Yeah.
I don't know how you did that. That would drove me nuts eating that cereal off that envelope.
It was soggy as all.
Yeah,
hell,
I couldn't.
Man.
I
had no idea it was sitting in there for a
I couldn't
for
do
a while.
It, man. That
he's a pooper.
Right.
He does some shit, man. For acting,
right.
like he really.
I am
fucking,
really. I'm really really dedicated to my craft.
He really
you definitely are. Cause
yeah.
I wouldn't have been able to do it. I tell you that.
Yeah.
I gagged when I first seen it. I'm like, ah.
Yeah, I don't know if I would have been able to do that. I'm not much for the soggy whole wheat, whatever the fuck that was.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely the part where I got hit in the newspapers. The first time, like the first like I feel like 10 times they kept missing me, and then Mark, as you know, Mark Swatsky came in first try, hit me straight in the head. Like,
oh yeah, he wanted
it
so bad.
Throwing arm, like wow,
yeah.
It was crazy.
That's where you got to make it so you get that stunt double in there for you, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, that was fun. And it was raining. The best part about that scene, the newspaper scene, is it was fucking raining. And it was like 7 or 8 o'clock at night.
Oh, nice.
We made it look like it was a beautiful, sunny morning.
That's what I thought it was.
So that's the best part about making movies. It's like knowing what the fucking, what's going on behind the scenes and then seeing the final result. It's like,
wow.
I can't believe we pulled that off. Same with like him in the kitchen eating his breakfast. It was... dark, overcast, and like we had to make it look like the sun, morning sun was shining through onto him. So they just really sold that. That's Jordan. Jordan Burns really knows his fucking shit, man.
Same having Mark on there too. Those two working together, it's just like those guys know their stuff. They know what they're doing.
Well, Mark actually, full credit to Mark for the cereal, the envelope in the bowl of cereals.
Right.
That was Mark's idea.
That was Mark's idea.
Yeah, because it was just, he was just going to drop the rent money on the counter and say, here's the money I owe you. But instead, he was just like, Mark was like, how about his dad comes and throws it in the milk.
Yeah.
And then he slurps it off, like just eats some of this. I was like, dude, that has to fucking happen. I think we only had to do it once or twice, and it was like, okay, that's
when it comes to crazy stuff, I'm just like, gotta get it done, gotta do it super quickly.
because, you know, got to get right on point maybe 2 or 3 times because I was like, I don't want to do it again.
Yeah, so. You did really fucking good on that, actually.
Who's the person that plays your dad and mom?
Frank Kirby.
No. He's calm.
Yeah, and he's in a lot of stuff, believe it or not. Okay. Yeah.
He gets on like every background gig, you'll know. Every production in the city, he's always on
background. Any show that's ever been here.
He's like the background king, I think.
Yeah. Today, actually, he just announced he's doing like a big food chain commercial. Yeah, so that could be actually good. That could be a door opening. Like, shit. Nice. Especially if it's like McDonald's or something.
Yeah, exactly. That'd be really cool.
Yeah.
We need some sponsors.
Yeah.
So on A Beside the Podcast, what's his name? Frank Kirby? No, that's good though. No, you guys are doing your thing.
Yeah.
Right? And we appreciate you guys coming out, sharing it with us.
And it's fun, man. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah. No, I mean, so I guess my question would be we kind of got what your background story was. What inspired you to really get into acting?
To really get into acting? Yeah. To get me, I was the former battle rap I was talking about on Pat's Day.
Yep.
Literally, I met Mark Swatsky. Literally, I met him one time on a production.
Mm-hmm.
And I was helping this African guy do like his music video, which was very like one wide shot.
Yeah.
One big wide shot and everything. And literally, it was really crap. And Mark was basically just like, we did it and stuff, but Mark would always bring me on more productions.
Right.
And one of the productions was with Pat Stay.
Okay.
And literally, I helped on set a few times doing a little bit of stuff, tweaking, you know, setting up lights, you know, small things behind the scenes. And literally, we were in the car one time, and Pat just goes to me, and he says, "Hey, pal, how's it going?" I'm like, "I'm good." "So what kind of porn you into? Who's your favorite porn star?" And I was totally taken back, and I was basically like, "What? What's going on?" And then that whole interaction came into Unreasonable Rob, because mm-hmm. the whole interaction, I thought that was perfect for the character.
Right.
And literally after that, I just start doing more acting gigs. Pat would really motivate me to do more stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, and after that, I got more gigs as it happened, and just keep letting it go and keep going towards my goals, right? Yeah.
So what would you say your end goal is?
My end goal is definitely to try to make it for Hollywood. Definitely try to make it for Hollywood, but not just to be the best version of myself, the best actor I can be.
Definitely.
Yeah.
You want that Hollywood-ish call.
Right? Yeah, it'd be really cool. You know, but I like bringing, not just myself, but bringing all the people who help me, all the people I'm working with on the level, just like Pat, that was Pat's goal too, is everyone with him, uplifting everybody, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's the main goal.
That's good, right?
He never seemed to put himself above anybody, man. That's it was just like, if he want, like, he would call you, and you were just his buddy, and he wanted you to come help. Like, just come work on this film with us, man, please. And he appreciated everything. Like,
everything.
And made that, made that very well known, like mm-hmm. how much he appreciated everybody.
Yeah, which is good, right?
Yeah.
So, it's not many of those people in the world that
you
can say that.
Especially a guy like Pat's caliber, where he had so much respect and so many people knew him all around the world. And it's like, you'd think guys like him would just be cocky, but no, he wasn't like that.
He had a really, really, really good heart, and he was loved to look out for other people, helping other people.
Like, the battle Pat and the Pat that I got to meet mm-hmm. during all that, two completely different people,
Right. Two different
people. Yeah. I never got to meet him.
So. Oh, no.
Oh.
Yeah. I met him once.
I used to interact. I was at his first ever official battle at the Elements League back in the Graft Pit in Halifax. It's me and a bunch of my buddies. We used to go to every fucking single one of them.
Nice. I never got into battle raps until like maybe a year ago.
Oh, really? Holy fuck.
Yeah.
You're just way late on the train.
Yeah, there's so many things in the world to get into. It's hard to get into everything. Like, you don't know how much... Even, like, now that we do the podcast, I'm up on hip-hop music.
Yeah.
But for a while, I was such a Tech N9ne fan that I didn't care who else was coming out.
Oh, yeah, I was just listening to that. I was hired in Tech N9ne there when I was in high school, man.
Because I
blew up, basically.
I almost didn't know who the Migos were until they broke up.
Oh, shit. Honestly, I don't think I did either.
Like,
it's bad.
There's just
so much stuff. Interest, though. That's the thing.
Like, yeah, like
if I wasn't, we were talking about one time. You're like, man, when did this come out? And we told you. You're like, oh, I didn't know. That's when Tech N9ne.
Yeah, I know. That's
like even the Elements League started in the Graft Pit, and then they needed an indoor place, so they started. You know, Tyson Cave.
Yeah.
They started doing it in his boxing ring.
Okay.
In Sackville, it was under fucking pizza girls. Yeah, you know, pizza girls, yeah. It was downstairs in that place. And fuck, man, like the battles were great, but a lot of shit popped off.
Oh, yeah.
Lots of fights. Like some battle, there was one battle in particular that turned into a fucking boxing match.
Yeah.
They put the gloves on. I'm not going to name any names.
Well, at least they did it that way.
They did it. They put the gloves on, but someone still got jumped outside afterwards. It just didn't matter. It was just,
y'all know who you are.
So. Yeah. It was gonna, you know who the fuck you are.
Man.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, good time, so.
Yeah, see, I stepped away. Like, back when I did music, we was performing with, like when Ground Squad was still a thing.
Yeah. That was even before I was into it.
Like, yeah, that was.
Because Ground Squad was, yeah, that was.
Like, yeah, for people out there that don't know who Ground 90s, Squad, right? That was Classified's crew.
That was early 90s.
Yeah, like, yep.
Shit.
Well.
Or late 80s, late 80s, early 90s? Or?
No. I'm trying to count how old I am. When did that happen?
Thought it would be
probably late 90s. Mid high school.
Late, yeah, it would have been late.
95, 96-ish?
Yeah.
No, I would have only been, like, I would have been too young. It would have been.
Late 90s,
98, probably. 90, yeah. Around 98 into the 2000s.
And that's about when I started was, well, not. I started in the 90s, but I didn't start actually recording shit until I was, like, 13.
Man, I remember when, on our first album, we. Class used to have a studio down in the South End, and we recorded a couple tracks there.
Nice.
And this was before any of that. Like, I mean, his booth was his closet. We were sitting there rapping next to T-shirts hung up.
My buddy Dizla, man, that's what we used to record in his shed in the fucking trailer park in Sackville, in Upper Sackville, Springfield. And we recorded in his shed.
When I guess my booth that I created, I put the mic in the middle and had a microwave box. and you put you had your head in a microwave box like this. It was sound. Did it sound good? I put what like
phones in Eminem's basement. The egg cartons actually they muffle it.
That's what I mean.
Yeah, that
it's the most funny wrapping into a microwave box, but that was the biggest box I could find.
All ours was he framed it out himself inside the shed. It was like literally just enough room for me and him to stand in there. One person, the mic just dangling from the corner from the ceiling, and one moving blanket all the way around it. And that was it. It was just that small. It would get so fucking hot.
I can imagine, man.
You go in, especially if you fucked up your verse and had to record it a couple times. It's like, okay, get that one verse done. You got to get out, get some fresh air, open the fucking shed door. And
reminds me of Hustle and Flow. I had to keep turning the fans off.
Oh, man, it's so bad. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
There was no fans, though.
I remember back
just
then.
Just blunt smoke and fucking and ass sweat. It was fucking gross.
Hey. As a rapper, how long did it take you, because it took us a long time, to realize that you could punch in?
It took me a while to realize, because I always, it's not even that it took me a while to realize, I always felt it was unnatural. It took me a while to learn how to properly punch in. So I would just flat out refuse. And I was just like, I knew I could do it if I wanted to, but I didn't. I was just like, nope, one take, motherfucker. Anybody would come in, because I was producing a lot of people too.
Yeah.
I make beats and shit too, but somebody would come in and I'd fucking sit there and make them one take it.
Shit.
I was such an asshole producer. I was just like, ah, you fucked up. They'd be still recording and they'd fuck something up, and I already heard the verse a few times and I know they just stumbled a word, so I hit stop and they're like, what? I'm like, you gotta do it again, man. Like, can't we just punch in? I'm like, no. Start from the fucking top.
See? That's how we did it.
I let people punch in, obviously.
I only punched in, and I did well over 50 songs in my life, maybe two times. We were always from beginning to end, and it only because it was like a tongue twister, right?
And it depends on the production you want. Even if you can deliver the whole thing, I'll still punch in now. Like, I'll record my first four bars, and then that's usually how I do it, just for production quality. Even though I can pull off the whole verse, it just sounds nicer that way.
Yeah.
I love actually producing and making the quality of the track sound fucking perfect.
Oh yeah,
it's the performance. You worry about that for the performance. Yeah, right. You want the song to sound fucking, because it's timeless. Yeah. It's always going to be as is.
Yeah, like one of my favorite parts is editing and doing the finished project.
Yeah, and
staring at a screen until your eyes are buggy.
You can seamlessly punch it in and make it like you wouldn't even know.
Oh yeah, yeah. I love that, man.
Yeah, that's my favorite.
So I want to rewind back, and for Nathan, I want you to tell us about your experience with 17 Bricks, because that was because we heard from Leanne, we heard from Mark, so we know their side of things and how it came about. What about your story with that?
Oh, so basically, we were basically at Pat Stay's. They have an event that happens in September, you know, to commemorate for him and stuff, you know, and Stay Day they call it. Yep. And we were literally there and stuff, hanging out together, and somebody yelled out, "Hey, there's a 40-hour challenge and stuff," and Mark basically was like, "No, I don't want to do it," but they eventually convinced him and Leanne to do something, and Leanne and Mark basically agreed. They were like, "Hey, we need to do it," so they submitted it towards the 40-hour challenge and literally asked me, "Hey Nathan, we want you to do this character named Kenny, who's a kind of like a not to think about like he's basically a cop that is trying to go after his brother, sister. I can't remember. It's a puppet. I think it's his sister.
Yeah, it's your sister.
It's been a while since I've looked at it again, but yeah, it's his sister and stuff. And basically, was just bit basically trying to go after her because she's a drug lord and stuff, and she's trying to take him down and stuff. And yeah, we literally shot that during a hurricane.
Yes, yeah, I remember.
Power was all going out around the city.
Yeah, yes. We're still so dedicated to craft. We needed to get it done and everything. So
yeah, I remember they were telling us that you missed on locations because the locations you wanted didn't actually have power. Yeah,
next thing you know, they're calling them back like, "Oh, nope, we don't have power anymore."
Yeah.
Next.
So literally after the whole project was done, we went down to Wolfville to actually watch and screen it. And we literally won 3 or 4 awards.
Yep. I remember those.
I can't remember all of them right now, but I remember. I know Mark and Leanne definitely know there. But.
Yep, we didn't mention them, and I'm not going to say anything so that I don't get them wrong.
Yeah. It's on me either. So yeah.
Man, it's one of those things where your brain is fighting to remember.
And characters and a couple other ones. They were good ones to have, good ones to win.
Man, yeah, they were good ones. They were like prestige ones.
Best
I remember that.
Or something. I can't remember. Best directing.
Yeah.
Hey, go check the episode.
Yeah, check it out. Yeah. They list it. They let everybody know what their awards were, too. Yeah.
Yep. That's dope. You guys ever think of doing that again?
Yeah, I think they might be interested in doing it again this coming September, I think, when it happens. Or, you know, we do Atlantic again. We might try to submit, you know, try another film and try something else. But, again, I think we're going to do it, but I'm not 100% sure what Mark and Leanne have in
store. I don't know how they mentally and physically pulled that off, because I would have lost my shit trying to do that in 2 days.
Yeah.
There's no way, man. Even just doing the short film, what did we have? 2 weeks?
Yeah, a couple weeks. Yeah. It was a
couple weeks to pull the whole 3 weeks, I think it was, from start to finish to pull the team together and film it and produce it. I was, even that 3 weeks was too long or too short.
And they're doing it in 24 or 48 hours.
48 hours. I was like, man, those guys are fucking genius. Yeah. To be able to pull that off. Mark is a fucking genius. Like, I love working with Mark. Mark is fucking, he's fun, he's not a dick, and he's super fucking creative. Like,
yeah.
He's so fucking quick with on the fly. Like,
yeah, I only met him once, and I got that
from him. You can tell, he just gives off that, "I'm an artist" vibe. I'm a fucking creative genius.
Yeah.
And comedic, too. Like, he's actually hilarious.
Yeah, he used to do stand-up.
Yeah, he's fucking hilarious.
I was going to say, we literally shot during a hurricane. There's like these crates. We had like these, like a container shipyard. We went out and shot in the rain and everything. And the whole fight scene out there and everything they had, it was crazy. In a storm, in a hurricane. Yeah, it was like a movie. Yeah.
Yeah, in the bay, in the underground park in there.
And then there's one we did where we did a whole thing where there's like cars and stuff. And I'm like literally with Ray. She's like, it's like a model. And she has OnlyFans and stuff, and literally she was my co-lead in that, and we literally shot in a car, and she was like right in my character the whole time. My character was like, "No, I need to focus on work." And literally that whole scene just happened during a hurricane in like near the container yard in Pleasant Park.
So. Yeah, like she's got like over 500,000 followers on her fucking socials, man. Like she's booming. She's like,
she do a lot of acting and stuff?
I guess I don't know how much other acting she does other than with Mark. But Mark hires her on quite a bit for roles, and I don't know what else she does. She do other.
I guess she played the mother in Unreasonable Rob.
Yeah, so, she plays Pat or Rob's mother.
Yeah. Cool. Yeah. Well, I guess we should invite her up here for an episode.
You could.
Oh, no, yeah.
She brings some numbers in, I believe.
Yeah. She brings all the guys. The guys are just going crazy, man.
I mean,
she might bring some milkshake.
Yeah, bring it to the yard. Yeah.
It's not just for the numbers.
Yeah, I know.
But I like them.
Numbers are good. Like and subscribe.
Let's talk about Buddy Wild. That's coming soon.
Yeah.
How did you two get involved in that?
So I got involved with Mark and Leanne basically reaching out and being like, hey, we want to do a feature film. And it was kind of like a present for Leanne's birthday. And she's trying to do it's basically a birthday present for her. So from Mark. And they reached out and been like, hey, we want you to play this character that's like a non-verbal character. He doesn't speak at all in the film. He's got a few problems here and there, you'll notice. And, you know, there's something that's wrong with him. And literally, during the whole film, I'm just hunting for Chupies in the wild. and you'll notice it's a post-nuclear world, so things are very futuristic, but very in the past in the same second. So, for instance, there's flying cars, and there's, like, phones are looking futuristic, but they live in cabins in the middle of the woods with fires, and you don't see any modern stuff at all. It's just mostly just woods. And, and there's this creature called the Witch, which is played by Frank Kirby, of course. And, yeah, he's basically trying to hunt us down. So.
Yeah, we discussed about the Witch.
Yeah. I was quite intrigued with that episode.
Yeah.
I was like, wow, I didn't even know that. Like, yeah, I didn't know it was a fucking...
Based on a true story.
Yeah. It was something, right?
It's like, not the story, but based on a true character. Like, they just kind of took that and ran with it.
Yeah, that's a better way.
But it's still, like...
Yeah. Did you go and watch the actual video?
No. There's actual videos of this fucking witch?
Yeah.
Okay, no.
I haven't watched it yet myself.
I couldn't watch
it. It was like trail cam footage of, like...
Yeah.
It was actual witch eating...
Eating dogs, probably.
Yeah, or animals or something, I think. In the trail.
It was like some kind of carcass.
It was a human.
Eating chupacabras.
Yeah.
Chupacabras.
Eating chupacabras.
Yeah.
Nice. And so what is your role in the film?
See, I wasn't even really supposed to be in the film very much. Like, Mark decided he wanted a couple people in the background for this, like a diner scene. And I was just some drunk... No dialogue, I'm just drunk in the background, and then it just, I don't want to give too much away, obviously, but he just, Mark never really fully has a plan with what he's going to do. He comes up with ideas as they're going, so like, he thought he was wrapped, I was wrapped, and then next thing you know, he's like, I need you to come back, I've got an idea for you. And then Mark does that a lot, eh?
Yeah, it does.
he thinks he's done, that's why it's like... The next scene that we wrap up on Sunday,
yeah.
I feel like it should be the last scene, but Mark, you know Mark, he's always there's going to be something else that needs to be filmed.
You always know, you're like, oh, you're done, your whole rap, Nathan, then he'll come kill a message 2 weeks later, hey, we got another scene we want you to do.
Well, I think Frank was rapped 3 times or something, and then he just kept getting him to come back. Me and Frank just worked in the fucking freezing cold. I don't know if you saw clips of that.
Was that me outside? Yes, that is a clip I've seen.
It was fucking snowing that day, and it was like minus 11 or whatever. It was cold as shit that day. And I was wearing a dirty white beater.
Yeah.
The fucking Mark just filled with vinegar and like barbecue sauce and ketchup and all that shit. He just dirtied it all up. We had no time to dry the shit.
Oh.
So it was soaked. So I'm out there, I'm just like... I was actually cold. Like I let the cold take over. Like I wasn't actually shivering the whole time. But like as soon as he said action, I was just like, all right, let the cold fucking just ruin me for this. And it sold it. The fact that it was cold really fucking sold that acting.
And the same fact, we shot in a cabin for like a week. And literally, like...
No fire, no coal, or no heaters, like nothing.
Nothing. We were outside, basically, in the woods and stuff. You know, just Mark is just like, you know, Nathan, you gotta go full force. You gotta just take it like a man. Like as you say. And yeah, literally shot. And if I didn't say it, I do play Buddy Wild. I play the main character in it. And
Yeah, basically, yeah. It was just me and Leanne basically running in the woods in the cold, basically hunting chupacabras, being chased by this witch, and basically I don't want to give it too much away, but that's the main concept of it. And me learning how to hunt, and me learning how to become a man in the woods. So you know, become a man, basically.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's a concept. So yeah.
Sounds like Mark's making you guys do some method acting.
Oh, the guy's yeah.
You get forced into method acting, yeah, working with
right?
him.
He's like an acting, like he says, no, I'm not, no, man. But he is an acting coach. Like, the guy has got acting chops.
Yeah,
every time you're there, he's like super adamant, like on like making sure you get everything right, making sure you're acting right and stuff. He wants to make sure you look good in that film, right?
So, and right. He's very good with he'll just improv lines and feed you lines to say. Mm-hmm. It's just what he wants. He's like, okay, or actually, no, say it like this, and then he'll feed you the line again. And just keep feeding you lines, and he's like, okay, this is perfect, this is great, beautiful, amazing, that was amazing.
Or you'll see him, he'll be like, yes, we got yes, it.
You know when you're making him happy, yeah. But, yeah, he is amazing to fucking work with. Like, it's to see him, like, watch him in his element, yep, doing his shit. Like,
creative genius. Yeah.
He is, man. Like, I actually found the location that we filmed that outdoor scene with me and Frank, and it was actually my cousin's property. My cousin Nick let us use his property.
Nice.
And it's just a big clearing. That's where he's building his house. So as soon as Mark walks in, he was just like, oh, wow. He's walking around, and he's like climbing in the bushes.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's the shot. Yeah. Oh, yes. Yes.
I don't think I ever seen anyone other than in the movies do that shit.
He does it. It's a real thing. Yeah.
Like, he
yeah.
gets right into it. He's like, he's right in the zone as soon as he gets there. And it's like,
it's
so
fun
cool
to watch.
It's so cool to see him do it. Yeah.
Because you know, like, he's got a vision. And then when you see it on the screen, it's like,
you're confident he's going to do a great job for you. Like, yeah.
Yeah. Like, he's been showing us little teasers and sneak peeks, like, as he's been producing. And, like, every couple of days, he sends me just a little teaser, and I'm just like,
"So good!" Like, sends me
too. Do you guys have any idea when it's going to be finished and released?
Yeah,
yeah.
It's still on track from the last time I spoke with you guys.
Okay.
I think they have to have it wrapped up. I forget what the date.
It was June 14th or 15th, somewhere in the middle of June.
Yeah,
and
because
then
it has to be done and submitted for the Atlantic.
In September, they're thinking during the film festival in September, if they get in.
So if they get in, that's when it'll be released.
Yeah,
awesome.
Other than that, Atlantic Film Festival is very strict with stuff like that. Like, they can't pre-release, they can't do anything, they can't do screenings.
No. Yeah,
not even a private screening. That
I remember.
Atlantic Film Festival has
that's
to be.
That's your private screening.
That's the premiere. Yeah.
Yeah, I remember. That's what he was telling me.
Which is good though. It's a lot of exposure.
Yeah, for sure.
It's networking. You see people that are in the same industry as you. You get to meet new people. You're able to. Yeah, I get a lot of
that's
networking.
That's a good professional premiere, really. Yeah. It doesn't get any more official either, really.
So I want to ask about the CBC short film Face Off, because I've never heard about that until
this
you guys
was
mentioned it.
A first for us, too. I had no idea what it was. Megan somehow found it, and she found it very late in the fucking game. We had 3 weeks left. <Yeah. laughs> 3 weeks was our deadline of submission, and we had it submitted by like 11:30 that night. It was like midnight was the closing time, and we had it in like a half hour before it closed.
And so how does it all work? Like, what is it? Is it something that people can see all the films face
off? It's actually a series.
Yeah,
it's
a okay.
It's a TV show on CBC. Like, they actually, it's, they've got a, there's a host and everything. Like, it almost reminded me of Fear Factor. I don't know why. I was trying to look back, and I was like, why is she so serious? Like, why is this, I don't know. But it's, yeah, there's a host, and then they have, like, producers and directors go on the show. I'm not sure about the whole format, but
okay.
Each episode is, I think, one or two short films, or two, a couple of short films. And then, in the end, Canada votes on their favorite short film in the whole series of CBC short film Face Off.
Sounds like Big Brother.
Yeah, almost 15 seasons. I've seen, like, 15 seasons of it.
Really?
Man.
Wow. Yeah, it's been around for a while.
Oh, you've watched 15 seasons? Or no, that's how
there are 15 seasons of the show, yeah, which has been around for a while. So
yeah, man, it's just strange. I never actually heard of it until...
Me neither, man.
I guess it's, you don't really notice that stuff until you get into
to that stuff.
Yeah, making it like fuck. Well, these are our chances and there are opportunities, things that are on the table. Like, so it was the first thing we found that we could jump at. So,
nice. And it's like driving your car.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. You don't ever see that car on the road until you're in that car.
Yeah. Well, that's me. Nathan and I got together and we created a baby.
Yeah, and I'm so happy seeing from where we were at. We never thought it would come to what it did. So
it's our dream, baby.
Which one's mom? Which one's dad?
I would say Nathan's the mother.
Yeah.
He's been nurturing us very, very well through this whole thing. Like every time it seems like things start derailing a little bit. It's not really. I shouldn't say it's derailed. It's just we all live full lives. Like I've got two kids and. We all have full-time jobs. Everyone on the team has full-time jobs. So, but if Nathan notices the group's getting a little quiet and people are just kind of not really active, he's like, okay, we got to do this.
I got to get back on track, man.
We got to get the screening done.
Like, I see the vision.
But
I see
where at the same time, I've never forgot it. Like, I wake up and the fucking show is in the back of my head. Like, it's never going to leave my head because this is our, like I said, this is our baby. Like, so... In the long run, the series is happening. We're going to aim for 6 episodes. Mm. We've already got a lot of people interested in working with us as well, like names and stuff that are that people know. Like, I don't know if you know Gerald Schmelzer. He's a comedian. He does his own, like, he's got quite a following going on. But he's funny. He does, like, the, I can't fucking do his impression because I just can't.
No, I can't.
Up.
But he has a big TikTok. He really got big off TikTok. I noticed.
Yeah.
TikTok.
Lots of views. Lots of people know who he is, too. But
awesome.
Yeah, there's a few people. I don't really want to name too many names because it's not really official yet. No. But we're still fleshing out characters and writing scripts and stuff like that. But we get a lot of people interested in working on the show, which is good.
So would this short film serve as a pilot? Would you say for the show?
Yeah. That was kind of the plan, It was the fact that we managed to get the short film together. Now we have a body of work. And like Jeff, our cinematographer, said, he's like, man, this has legs. He's like, I'm not just saying it because I'm on the project. The guy fucking, him and Jordan both drove from Truro every day to film and fucking, and then Jordan came out and he was at my house all day for 2 days in a row. Drove from Truro, and we just cooped ourselves up in the studio and fucking edited away.
Nice.
So the dedication is there. Like, they see what we see in the project, and that's the main thing. It's everybody has the same dream. Everybody has the same goal, and we all want to see this show do well. So, like he said, this short film now, it's a body of work. And he said, not to be biased because he's a part of the project, he thinks it has legs. And he's like, if we pitch this around, and then plus if we do the series, I don't know, there's a lot to really take in when it comes to this stuff, because there's a lot of different avenues and ways that you can approach doing the show, like especially when it comes to funding, because we have no money. We have fucking no money.
We know how that feels.
Yeah,
we know how that feels. So,
just by having no money and we're still able to pull off everything we did is mind-blowing to me.
Everything's a bit out of pocket, like... Yeah, so as far as funding and stuff, I don't know where we're at.
We're working on it. We're looking around to look at different networks and stuff. We want to see eventually if CBC Film Face Off gets back to us to see if we made it or not.
Yeah,
we'd like to know that. But if we midsummer or September, if we don't hear anything, maybe even sooner than that, if we don't hear anything, maybe we'll just be like, hey, we'll just go to other networks and see.
And we're just going to start shooting.
Yeah.
And if we don't fucking hear anything back, we're just going to start shooting and we're going to make a show. No matter what, fucking show is happening. It's happening. Now, the problem with our crew is they actually do film and video as their full-time jobs.
Okay.
So when they're not around, I don't know what the fuck we're going to do unless Mark or we find some more other cinematographers and directors to help us. But it'll happen. We've got the determination and the drive, and we've got the cast and crew, and we've got the story, everything all worked out. It's just fleshing out that script now, which is good.
Awesome.
Yeah.
That's good to hear. So aside from this project, you have any other things you guys are working on in the future? Start with you first, Nate.
Right now, nothing set in stone, but I definitely can feel something's going to happen. Yeah, definitely, hopefully trying to do some more background work over the summer with some shows, and hopefully try to get an agent, you know, at least an agent to see if I can help me get some work as well, and things like that. And but right now, you know, pretty quiet, but it's still the start. It's still just before the summer, but
yeah.
I feel things are going to pick up. I have a good feeling of it, so yeah.
Cool. How about yourself?
I'm working on an album. I don't want to say too much about it, but I did just write two new songs on the weekend there. So,
two songs
back to back.
Nice.
I sent Nathan a little preview of it.
Really good.
Of one of them. Working with a producer from Cape Breton. He said he's just outside of Glace Bay. I can't remember what the fucking town is. It's a very small town outside of Glace Bay, though. I know that. Okay. He goes by Oracular. And I never heard of him. It was a buddy of mine, Joey Webb, actually introduced me to him because he moved out to Cape. He's from Saffle, but moved out to Cape Breton. Okay. Somehow met this guy, and he makes some fucking dirty, dope ass boom bap. Just my style. Like, if you listen to I listened to the beats and I was like, I made that. Yeah, I made that beat. Just exactly my style. So I was like, okay. I messaged him and I fucking sent him some of my shit. And he showed me some of his beats, and he was like, okay, yeah, I'll work with you. I was like, I want to make an album with you. And he was like, okay, yeah, let's do that. And fucking ever since then, it's like, that's all history. Like, he sent me 30 fucking plus, 37, 36 beats or something like that.
Shit.
All fucking boom bap bangers. I got all these beats to choose from. So I was like, okay, wrote that song, sent it to him. He was like, okay. Sent him another one, and he was like, okay, this is going to be a fucking dope body of work.
He's like, that's awesome.
So, yeah, I definitely had to bring that up.
Oh, and when you're closer to being done and stuff, you want to talk about it, definitely come up here.
Yeah,
we're all about hip-hop.
Yeah, yeah. You know bring up some sample tracks for you guys to listen to and shit.
Nice.
Yeah. I love supporting.
And I go by Scrimmage. Talent. I don't know if I even mentioned that. Yeah,
Scrimmage.
Okay, so I have heard it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Nice. Yeah, I've been doing it for a while, miss.
I'm trying to remember who it was that said your name. Unless
he was T-Bone,
actually.
But like I told you earlier, like I toured around the province with Jay Brew and Jordan, and I don't know if you remember S-Class. Remember him? White rapper. I don't know how long he was in the game.
I remember his name.
But he was really fucking good. And I don't know where whatever happened to him. And not
whatever happened to Spesh?
Sess?
Special K.
Spesh K, he just dropped some shit recently.
Oh, Special K.
I don't know how hard into it he still is, but like, because you know he's a family guy now.
I went to school with him.
Yeah, he had Knocking Him Down. That was the sickest shit, man. That was one of my favorite videos. It was the cartoon video.
Man, I didn't see that.
I seen that.
A class made the beat.
It
was sick. I don't know who. There was the fucking animators from the Gorillas or something. It was Much Music. Yeah, was Much Music crazy, funded that shit.
Yeah. Wait.
It was Much Video Facts and stuff. They would give people grant
money. I remember
money.
That now. I remember. Yes.
It was literally the fucking the Gorillas animator, the same animation.
That's what it was, right?
And it was so good. Like, and it's Spesh K. He's like this tiny dude to this little tiny little white guy in the fucking boxing ring. And he's fighting fucking Mike Tyson. Yeah. And he's like this big, massive version of Mike Tyson. He's like, here's Spesh K and here's this guy he's fighting in the ring. But then he smashes him, like beats the shit out of him, as far as I recall. Good stuff, man. That was a good time for music. Local hip-hop, I find.
I find local hip-hop, at least in my opinion.
Yeah.
It's making a good comeback now.
It's starting to,
Quake's last album was dope.
Yeah.
Classified's last album
Luke's
was dope.
View. I haven't heard the new one. I've seen some of the videos and stuff that come out, but I don't know if I've heard every song.
Man,
but so far, I've liked it. Like,
it's good, really. I really like it. Like, lyrically, this is fine. Like, usually back in the older stuff, his lyrics didn't really resonate with me.
I loved his older shit, like Three Beats and an MC and shit. But, like, I really love that style of beats and stuff. He's really
His beats is all. He's never missed a beat with a beat.
No.
That's so missed a beat with a beat.
I know. His beats.
Well, he was a big inspiration to me. Like, was the... That I smoke my weed. I love my weed. It's Sickening, that song. That was a good song. I don't know if you ever heard that. I found that randomly at a fucking party, and I was like, who the hell is this guy? And it was like, not till years later, I was listening to this song on a CD. It was just a mixtape, and that was the only classified song on there. Had no idea it was local. And then I actually heard somebody playing that song, and they had the full album. And I was like, who is this fucking guy? They're like, classified, man. He's from Halifax. And I was like, what? And, well, I didn't know he was actually from Enfield. Yeah, but Enfield. He was living in Halifax, I think, at the time, so.
When I initially, that was like late 90s, mm-hmm. I met him and he lived in South End, so he's been in Halifax. Well,
yeah, he was in Halifax
long enough to be saying that he's from Halifax. Enfield's part of HRM, isn't it?
No.
I can't even remember.
Is it?
I don't know.
It is now.
It wasn't officially HRM before?
Wasn't officially, but it is now.
What was that, Colchester County?
Yes.
I didn't know that.
You just freestyled. I thought that was it on point.
I thought that was all fucking Halifax. Or I thought it was Halifax the whole time. It's so close.
So what time are we talking again? All right, Enfield, you said?
Yeah.
It's East Hants.
East Hants.
Not
Colchester. East Hants. Yeah.
Only because I've done.
Yeah. Colchester's like Truro and stuff. Yeah.
But yeah, now it's classified as HRM.
It's classified as HRM.
There you go.
Is this because of, as you can see, Halifax is getting bigger. We doubled our population
in
the last
10 years, right?
Yeah.
So
it's
now expanded out that come to Windsor is HRM, to, what is it now, Hubbard's is HRM, right? Yeah, so to Muscadabit Harbor is HRM.
What?
So, yeah, like.
Maybe they got Muscadabit would have been like.
Maybe they got tired of trying to explain to people that Halifax Stanfield Airport isn't in Halifax.
Yeah, exactly.
Just like, now it is.
Now,
yeah. So it's pretty Muscadabit much was Muscadabit County.
Yeah, so it's pretty much anything like within 45 minutes of the city is not classified as HRM.
Holy fuck!
Yeah,
Halifax has grown.
A lot.
Although it does piss me off the times when they say that something cool is coming to Halifax. Like, Dartmouth Crossing. I'd like, there ain't Halifax.
What are you talking about?
Like, especially with me for my food channel, like, new restaurant coming. Yeah, Halifax Crossing. Well, then that's a whole different thing.
Dartmouth
Crossing. I said Halifax Crossing?
Halifax Crossing.
HRM? HRM Crossing. It is HRM.
I was like, don't tell me they're building a Halifax Cross.
I wouldn't be surprised.
No, I wouldn't. No.
They're expanding on Bayer's Lake, though. Yeah. They're making that bigger. There's going to be a hospital there.
Yeah. No.
It's going to be like
what, that hospital is going to be impossible to fucking get to.
Yeah. It's supposed to be similar to the one that's open in Sackville there.
Cobblequid.
Yeah. Something similar to that, right?
So you'll be sitting there for a whole day waiting to get somebody to look at you.
Yep. And then it closes down at 12 o'clock.
Like, hey, you're going to have to come back tomorrow.
Yeah, I think it closes down at like 12 or something.
Call security because I'm not fucking leaving. Yeah.
That is a busy place.
Yes.
My mother had an appointment there and I took her to it. She's like, no, don't come in. I'll be in and out. I had like a 2-hour nap before she got back.
There was one time where I was in and out and I was like, my jaw was dropped. I was so fucking surprised. I was like, why was that so fast? Like, do I stink?
You must have went at 11:30 at night.
I don't know why. I don't remember what time it was, but probably.
Yeah.
Maybe I was just coughing on everybody, and like, we can get this guy.
Yeah, get him out of here.
Yeah.
This Costco is like, no matter what time of day, no matter what time, it's always busy. It's like Costco.
Yeah,
Costco is just always busy.
I've been to Costco once, and I don't really ever think I'll buy a membership.
No,
unless it's probably worth it though.
It can be worth it.
Get things in bulk.
Right, you want to talk about busy? Talk about Gateway.
That is crazy.
I see the lineup every time I go by, and I'm
that
just
is
like,
crazy.
It goes fast. Don't get me wrong, but.
Surprisingly does.
Yeah. Just seeing the lineup deters me from not going.
Yeah.
So. You want to go on a nice day. I drove by and it was piss pouring rain and I'm just seeing all these people. I'm like, holy fuck. Like, you know, that's fucking sad that we all have to resort to doing this shit because it's the cheapest fucking alternative. Yeah. And meanwhile, Sobeys and all these like Loblaws, all that shit jacking their fucking prices up.
Oh, are they?
Yeah, this. My household is boycotting them.
Are you guys boycotting them?
My folks they mentioned something about it, but I don't know. Like, where the fuck else am I going to get my groceries?
You know, I say that, and then on Sunday, that's why I went and got Mother's Day stuff.
Yeah.
But it also pisses me off because it was when COVID hit, they stopped their fucking, used to be able to go any, like, and I used to work around the clock, so sometimes I didn't get home till after fucking midnight. Mm-hmm. So if I'm hungry or I want to cook something or get I need groceries.
Yeah.
Then I had the option.
Sure. Now you don't.
Now you don't. They fucking close at 8 on weekends in Sackville. Yep. And then 9 in First Lake. Somebody, my woman told me 10. So I drove up and I was like, no, it's fucking closed. On 9 o'clock at the latest.
Yeah, I know Joe Howe and Bears Lake is 10 o'clock.
Like, do they not want fucking money?
I don't get it. I know why they stopped it, right? Because of the thing. But that's done.
That's what I said. I said, it's over. And then I had a friend who worked at the liquor store. She said, oh, don't say that. We don't want to go back to work until 10. I was like, oh, my God, not 10 o'clock. Holy fuck.
I know, like, after we went to the comedy gala on, when did I go? Oh, Saturday. And we had some drinks there. And I was like, man, I want to continue this when we get home. Then I look. Yeah, 9 o'clock. I was like, when did they...
No, now you have to go find a bar. You have to go find another bar.
We have a West Side. It's this place in Lacewood.
Yeah.
Stays open till 11.
Oh.
Sells all the same liquor for like a dollar.
Oh, that's like...
adds a dollar onto it.
That was like that place out in fucking way out yonder there. Bumfuck nowhere.
West Side Charlie's?
No, that liquor store. It was like... it's like a little... Those are like those little hidden gems. Like Eddie's out in fucking Mount Uniac. Yeah, but then there's another one. It's way out in fucking...
I can't think of the name now,
like
too.
Like Rodden or something.
Yeah, Rodden. Yeah, South Rodden.
Yeah, South Rodden or something. It's way out, fuck out there. But yeah, they're open till 11 o'clock at night. And then they're open stupid early in the morning, too. And on a Sunday at 6 o'clock, everything else is closed. Or 5 o'clock, everything else is closed. They're still open till 11.
Yeah, I seen that with these two. For anyone out there, if you want booze and it's past 10 o'clock, West Side, Clayton Park, pay us.
The other place, the place I was thinking of, I think it's called XLR or something like that. XLR, something like that. It's just a three-letter place.
Okay.
Man.
They got really good beef jerky, too. Jerky and homemade beef jerky and pepperoni. It must be locally made, right?
Okay.
That's fun. I know.
It's no Chris Brothers pepperoni.
Oh, Mount Uniac Way, there's this corner store that also has a liquor store in it, too.
That's Eddie's.
I don't think I've actually tried it.
Yes,
they
okay,
got pepperoni,
yeah.
All that shit.
That's where I got that
supper. So that's probably why they open later, because they got the corner store.
Yeah, they got the
liquor
store plus, yeah.
Just funny. But yeah, they got pepperoni. It's a whole smokehouse.
Nice. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Fuck yeah.
Oh, what?
Two Boys.
I still haven't had that yet.
I haven't. I've never even heard of it until now. Two Boys is what's called?
Two Boys is called.
I got to try that place.
I haven't even tried the Five Guys Burgers and Fries.
Don't.
Is it though?
It's good.
Is it though? I thought you said dope.
I tried it too. It's like it's not the hype.
I just remember watching that guy's review and
it ain't like that.
Damn.
I know.
Damn. I was like, man, I need that fucking burger now.
I had that burger. You ain't getting all that.
No.
Yeah. I
get yourself the double cheeseburger.
My fries were soggy.
Oh no.
My burger was.
Oh man, really?
Yeah, man.
The fries was
the burger looked sloppy in Fuck Guy's video. Like it was like a shitty McDonald's bun or something.
Like sloppy. The sauce was coming through the bun.
Oh yeah.
So
I mean, when I had oozing. It was good. Yeah. It was good. I'm back to eating cheese again.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, I told you you ain't getting away from that.
Still no beef and pork though.
Yeah, good luck with
that. When you talk about the guy, that goes damn. I know his name's
his name's Dan.
Right? He's a big
guy. I think
he's
Dam's Eats.
I don't remember
like
his real name.
You know,
yeah,
he's
Dam's
a big
Eats, fella. Probably.
And he's always like, more. He's super loud. He's super. He does food roos in his car. And he's a big black guy. Probably around your age, I'd say, probably. Yeah.
What's his fucking color have to do with it, huh?
Oh, okay.
I'm more about the age. Oh, you call me old? Like, what's going on here? Probably about your age.
I can't remember his fucking name. I knew he was hilarious. So just his reaction to that fucking burger would have me dying.
I can't remember back. I can see his face. I just can't really.
We watched that so many fucking times. Like,
I watched the song. Remember when they did auto-tune and all that? I had that on the playlist.
Oh, wow.
Me and my cousin Alex Muse, would just fucking die listening to that shit.
Dang.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, my damn. Oh, my goodness. It's going ham. Yeah, like, it's pretty bad when you memorized all the fucking
lyrics to it.
It's so good.
Yeah.
Man, that was crazy.
Shmo Yo Ho. I think they make all those remix songs.
Okay.
That's the channel. Shmo Yo Ho. They got a whole bunch of them, man.
I'm going to look for that because that's the only one I listen to.
Yeah. So they did all
the
remix videos.
What was that?
Same with the...
Hide Your Wife, Hide Your Kids?
Yeah.
That one?
I think they did him. And then they did the Kai, the the hatchet wielding hitchhiker.
What? I never even heard of that before.
Yes, you did. He said, and they broke. He could have broke her neck like a pencil stick. What did he fuck? How did that one go? That one's funny as shit. That guy's actually in jail. He fucking killed a guy.
Oh shit!
With a hatchet. This guy was fucking trying to kill people with his car. He had a guy like pinned between his car and another car, and he hitchhiked and caught a ride with this dude. So he was in the passenger seat while this guy's like. He told him, he said he's Jesus Christ or something, and he can do whatever the fuck he wants. So he sees this woman or this guy, I think it was a woman, and he pinned her up against the truck and wouldn't fucking let her out. So Buddy fucking, the hitchhiker ended up fucking cutting him up, like killed him with this hatchet. I don't know if he cut his head off or what, but he fucking killed him with this hatchet. And he got away for a while. Like he was on fucking Jimmy Kimmel or some shit. Like they had him on talk shows, yeah.
Is that the guy you're talking about?
Yep, that's the cheeseburger guy.
That's the guy. That's the guy. That's
what I'm talking about. Yeah. But Kai the damn. Hitchhiker or something. That you need to check that guy out.
All right.
That shit's insane.
Crazy.
Dylan drops.
Yep. Damn drops. Yep.
Damn drops. See, I knew it was damn.
Damn drop. Damn something. I know.
I think after that, he probably changed his name to Damn.
Yeah. Probably. Yeah.
All right. Cool. Man. I got that image. I didn't even see it yet.
Oh, the hitchhiker?
Yeah, I can't get that out my head.
I missed something.
The hitchhiker that killed the driver.
Yeah.
Oh, he was in the middle of finding that.
I was in the middle of finding that. He missed the story. Sorry, guys.
That's cool.
I'll definitely
say that. Because I'll hear the story when I watch
it. Yeah. You guys will definitely have to
search that out. All right, so I'm going to wrap things up here.
He's scarred now.
Yeah. Damn it, Kyle, what the fuck is wrong with you? As always,
rambles on and then something crazy comes out.
Yeah, sorry, Nate.
Also, you're the me of the show.
Okay. Yeah. I'm the dark one. Yeah.
So I want to thank you guys for stopping by. Also, always want you both to feel anytime you got something to promote. Anytime you just want to talk, like you can come up here and talk hip hop anytime. Well, just hit me up, man. Right? Yeah. Well, I just point.
He's pointing
him out
because
he's a rapper.
Right?
He's a rapper. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Come on, you can't exclude the abs, man. Come on.
Yeah, you want to give ab secrets?
Yeah.
But pleasure having you guys on.
Thank you for having
us. Thank you for coming.
It's good to be able to fucking actually talk about the stuff. Like, cause this way we can kind of just send people to one source instead of.
Yeah. There you go.
You want to learn about everything that we're doing here? Go check this out.
Yeah. And I'll see the trailer too. Because
thanks for watching, everybody. You guys are the best.
Just help your spouses also. Now you don't have to keep talking to them about it.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, John Kizzy, you know who is he? AKA Philly G, because they know who I be. Here with King Taker,
the King of Kings.
Special guest Nathan and Kyle, and we're out.
Peace.
Peace.